we're back for another episode of the Cursed Checkpoint. I actually got a group of three for you tonight. I'm your host, Justin Lacey, joined by Aaron McNeil.
I'm trying to think of the things to say, and I drew a blank.
That's good. You sound like a robot anyway from my connection, so everyone's impressed. But Jordan Wilson...
That was amazing, that robot voice.
Jordan
that
Wilson robot. Is impressed. Welcome,
he's,
Jordan.
He's not easily impressed either.
So...
Because he's so perfect.
Tonight we're going to talk about, I don't know what to call the genre, stealth action games, murder simulators. That's kind of what I've jotted down here. But basically, Aaron and I just finished Shadow of Mordor, and it has a lot in common with a lot of other games. But it's also, it's in a genre, these third-person character action games that I love playing, but, you know, more of the... I don't know, controlled action than, say, your Devil May Cries or your Bayonettas. And it's a genre I'm invested in, and I'm curious what your guys' thoughts are for the future of this genre, kind of where we're at now. And Jordan started playing some related games, too, so I thought I'd just bring it all together for one conversation. But
yeah, we could also append to it, not only is it the assassin murder simulator, it's also the open world, too.
It's the open world action.
Open world action? Yeah. Is that where we... Because...
Building, climbing, that kind of, all that kind of stuff rolled into it, right?
Yeah, but cutting it off before you get to your Grand Theft Autos and your Saints Rows and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, because it's to me, it's more about that the combat and the traversal and the collection stuff. So
yeah, the collectibles. That's a big part of it. That's what makes me play these games for 20 hours longer than I need to be playing it.
So
final trophies.
So, long story short, I finished Shadow of Mordor, which one of the few games I've actually finished this year, so that's saying enough. And I was starting to go through the rest of my list of other games I want to finish this year, and so I went back and started collecting more things in Shadow of Mordor in the meantime. So, that game still has a hold on me.
Priorities.
But I will say, if you chop off that first 45 minutes of Mordor... And the last hour, it's one of my favorite games of all time.
The last hour?
Yeah, I didn't really like the ending at all.
When you're storming the final four?
Okay, like...
Well, it became a completely different game at that point, right?
Yeah, we'll go ahead and say we're going to get into spoilers with Shadow of Mordor. We're going to get into spoilers.
I haven't played it yet.
Shut up. we'll get into spoilers of the existing Batman and Assassin's games, not including Unity, because that just came out as we're recording this. So just a heads up. So the ending of Mordor, actually, that the battle scene was pretty cool, except for the fact that I broke the Nemesis system before I got there. So it, like, you know, it builds it up so you get your five war chiefs that you've branded. And then you're going to fight your way to the tower, and they've got your nemesis is supposed to be leading an army against you. So I like the whole thing of meeting on the battlefield. Like, the whole setup was really cool. Yeah. It was just kind of clunky when you started playing it, and the fact that, like, at that point I had been so powered up and kicking so much ass, it was just like, here's your nemesis, and I'm like, well, who the fuck is that? I don't remember that guy. And contrasted to, you know, my first 3 or 4 hours with the game where I knew all of my nemesis, like,
freaking bright eyes,
man. Like, there are at least 3 or 4 of those guys just seared into my memory, which is like, which I can't say that about very many games. So that elevates the game to a much higher level. But anyway, I don't want to focus on the end. I'm glad I finished it, and it was handled kind of clunkily. But in the end, I don't give a shit about the story in this game or most of this game's in the show.
Lord of the Rings. How can you not give a shit about Lord of the Rings?
It's Middle
Earth. You didn't read the books? Oh, Justin.
It was cool. I will say it was cool, like, just how much dialogue they put in the game and how many little touches that they put. But I don't care. Like, it was...
There's a heavy attention to the Lords of the Rings universe in Shadow of Mordor that probably goes over the heads of...
It was unnecessary.
Yeah.
It's actually
the reason I didn't want to play Mordor is because it's just another Lord of the Rings game.
I just don't
care about the Lord of the Rings universe that much.
But, like, does it say anything to you that I don't care? I like Lord of the Rings, but didn't care that it was a Lord of the Rings game. Like I wasn't interested in any of the Lord of the Rings stuff. It was
as soon as they brought Gollum into it, it's like I don't care that he's part of the franchise. I like the dwarf. I like that guy.
What?
Of course you do.
What? You've got to be joking. All the story stuff was terrible. All the story stuff was terrible.
Okay, yeah.
But not... It didn't... Okay, it was terrible. That's a little strong. It didn't bother me. It didn't bother me, but I didn't care. I didn't care, and I didn't like that it tried to make me care at the end.
Yeah, but you were fighting Sauron. I mean, how...
Okay, we're gonna get going to get all the... God damn it.
It's the Lord of the Rings.
Why did we invite Jordan? Because he's making me talk negative about this game. It's probably going to be my game of the year. Let's bring out all the
shit. You're saying too much good stuff, so I have to be the contrarian. I have to be the opposing voice.
Hold on.
I'm the nemesis system for this show.
Jordan's your nemesis. Jordan's your bright eyes.
I think it was really...
appeared. Because he just laughs, right? He didn't actually say anything.
He just breathed and laughed.
I think it was kind of a mistake to let you fight Sauron. Like that just, I don't know. That seemed to be kind of a cop-out. Like, you should not be on this level. Like, yeah. But anyway, the game is awesome for 98% of its content. So,
and in about 4 or 5 years, I'll probably play it.
Probably.
After I've let the game just kind of soak a bit. Let it get out there. Wait until everyone's done talking about it. Then I'll play it, and it'll be all I can talk about.
So I streamed pretty much the last 4 hours of my session with Shadow Mordor. You guys were kind of hanging out, but Aaron, you have since finished the game, and I don't know where you landed. So give me some wrap up Shadow Mordor thoughts.
So I really enjoyed the Nemesis system. Outside of the Nemesis system, I mean, it's a really solid kind of mishmash of Assassin's Creed and Batman. Is like those are the two games that I can see as influences to this one.
Yep.
But the Nemesis system, really, I think it really gave the game a lot of character in a story that I think you didn't really care about, and I kind of just went along for the ride. Sure. I don't, you know, it gave me a reason to get from point A to B.
It didn't get in my way. It didn't get in my way.
Yeah, it doesn't get in the way. It gives you the flow to get deeper into the game itself. But I think the stories that matter are just your interactions with the orcs or the orcs themselves. Like everything that's worth talking about is all of these kind of personalized interactions with, like, this orc became my nemesis, or this guy chased me all over the place, or I kept killing this guy and he kept coming back, and their responses, the way these conversations they have with you, the player, are just, I think, they're very motivated, and sometimes they're hilarious, and sometimes like it does become just kind of, you know, me and this orc have a history now. I keep killing him, and he keeps killing me, and we're like back and forth, and he's like, why won't you die? And you're like, why won't you die?
Did you develop feelings for the orc? With like
negative feelings? Yeah.
Were you sad because he was your nemesis?
No.
And
no.
it was a relationship pity. Built on war and battle, but still, it's a relationship. Like, this guy knew you, you knew him.
But that's the other thing.
You saw each other all the time.
These are orcs. There is no sympathy whatsoever. I think there's room for that in the Nemesis system to actually have kind of that complex role, but I was just so thrilled that I finally give a shit about NPCs in an open world. That is that is an amazing feat.
And orcs, of all the... The Nazis of fantasy games. they actually have personality and
but
character,
also,
and it's like
don't,
some, there's distinguishing marks between them.
I was gonna say, don't downplay. Like, they're the character models of all. Like, there's so many orcs in this game, and they all have unique names. I mean, they all look unique. Like, it's
that last orc general, the one with the hood that you were fighting. He looked exactly like Styx.
Oh.
I don't know if that's what they were going for, but he looked a lot like Styx. Yeah.
Sorry, we kind of cut you off, Aaron. What else stands out about your Mordor time?
I mean, that was truly the highlight in my experience. I think that's what kept me coming back, and just I think the game itself is just heavy. I think that also helps. If it was,
dense.
Like the Batman, in the Batman games, like you get into a fight with these thugs, and Batman throws some heavy punches. But I mean, this game, it felt even heavier than that. You've got swords and daggers, and orc heads are flying all over the place.
Batman doesn't do that.
Batman doesn't
remember this. Can't do that. Oh, which I'll come back to that. But like the everything just felt so. It felt so real, and like I love the violence in the game as far as like some of these just the slow motion deaths, and I was just so many moments where like I just pull off something awesome and feel awesome for it, and the skill progression in the game, like it did it's one of the most well balanced games as far as like it was hard at the game was hard at the beginning. It was difficult to kind of get into a groove. I was dying left and right for the longest time, but I don't know when all of a sudden I was unstoppable for a good third of the game.
It's when you put the cheat codes in right after that suddenly noticed I'm not dying anymore.
Granted,
/ God mode.
I went back and 100%ed the first area of the game before I moved on to the second one, so I may have been kind of over leveled. But
is that kind of easy to do? Do they just show you on the map where everything is?
I'm really glad games have kind of moved in that direction versus like the original like flags of Assassin's Creed 1.
that is actually what made me stop playing Assassin's Creed games. So I've had an addiction to 100%ing games, and so I lived with a couple of guys a few years ago, and so one of my roommates had an Xbox or whatever it was on, and so I'm sitting there playing it, and I was near the end of the game, and so he was like walking through the living room, and he's like, "What in the world are you doing?" He's like, "You've been playing that game all day. What are you doing?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm trying to collect all the feathers or whatever they were, the flags or whatever they were in the game," and he goes, "You know those don't do anything, right?" If you collect all of them.
Important question. Was it the flags or the feathers? Were we talking about Assassin's Creed 1 or 2?
1.
Oh, yeah. I was right there with you, though. I 100% of that
six,
game.
7 years ago? I don't remember. Playing the game right there. I got online, checked. It's like, this is bullshit. I've spent like 4 days trying to get this all up.
I probably spent a month doing that. That was one of the other few games I took notes on. I was just kind of charting my path a bit, and I had printed out the maps, and
I wanted checking them all off
because I saw that I could get all the achievements in the game, and Assassin's Creed 2 was kind of bad about that too. But luckily, the multiplayer fucked me over, and I just stopped caring. But final thoughts here on Mordor. I agree with you, Aaron, in that like the Nemesis system is what makes it stand apart. The core of the game has basically been done before, in that it's on par with the best that Assassin's Creed and Batman have brought to the table. But it doesn't do anything revolutionary at the core of it, like as far as the side missions and the action. I mean, I think it's as solid combat as is in Batman, if not more satisfying, because you can actually chop dudes' heads off.
Heads will rule.
So, and then keep the heads. Saw a bunch of severed heads in your inventory at one point.
I wish. That'd be kind of cool. You have your trophy case for all your Nemesis.
Your mantle.
That would fit in. But I'm kind of left kind of floored by the Nemesis system. Like I said, it's in my game of the year discussion. Where are you elevating it to that level, or are you a little further down to earth?
I can see it being in my game of the year discussion simply because of the Nemesis system. If that weren't there, it would have been a solid game. I would have played start to finish, and I would have been done with it. But I think it's the stories that you can get from the Nemesis system, the feelings that can bring out in you, that makes it stand apart. Just the fact that you get the stories, you get used to the orcs, and sometimes like something big will happen, and there are times where I feel like when controls in that kind of a game gets taken away from you and you're kind of sitting there waiting for the game to play itself out, that seems like that should be frustrating. But there are times I've watched the Nemesis system play out for like a minute, just moving orcs around and showing their shifts and position. And I'm just sitting there like on the edge of my seat, like, wait, what's happening? Who's this guy? What happened? Why is he stronger now?
Yeah.
Like, I'm getting upset by watching these orcs shuffle around.
Oh, shit, I just cleared the way for the guy I'm actually worried about, and yeah. He's got a goddamn poison weapon, and those are pains in the ass.
And, those are terrible. Rough.
All right, so I wanted to see where we were at there before. What I was most curious about, two things, and I'll let you both comment here. Talking about, like, the next games we're playing. So Jordan's, you know, you've watched all of the, like, Batman playthroughs. You've been watching a good chunk of Shadow of Mordor from me and other streamers. Yet, in the middle of this, you picked up Batman Arkham City. And I'm kind of curious how you arrived there. Like, watching all this stuff, I'm going to go back to previous Batman. Like, well, why did you choose Batman right now?
I wanted to play as Batman.
Okay.
Most important.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've never played any of these games. So another part of it was, like, constant. Every time people play Mordor, they're like, oh, yeah, it has Batman combat. Like, that's a thing at some point you don't have to describe anymore because everybody's played the Batman games. It's Batman combat.
It's transcendent.
Big group of guys, they all come at you, and then you hit the counter, and you're good.
You dance with
it. It occurred to me. I have no idea what that feels like.
Oh,
because I've never played a Batman game or a game with Batman style combat. So that was part of it. I was like,
so
I play one of these games.
The $60 hurdle. Say Shadow of Mordor is in your library. Do you play Batman or do you play Shadow of Mordor?
I play Shadow of Mordor because I don't like Lord of the Rings. love Batman, but I've also been watching some Justice League movies.
Okay.
And so I wanted to be Batman. I've been watching
cartoons. That's my favorite part about Batman games is that I'm Batman.
I want to talk about the Nemesis system. We'll go ahead and get to your questions, but the Nemesis system in Batman, because I just started thinking about this while you guys were talking about.
About
the Nemesis system.
Well, let's go off of the rumors.
We can table that. I'll come back to it.
Let's go off the rumors that I think, Aaron, you're aware of. I feel like we both read this. At one point, Shadow of Mordor was rumored to be a Batman game. It was like Monolith was working
on.
Yeah, that's
awesome.
Yeah, it could be.
It's got some weight to it. Has not been confirmed, but it's published by the same publishers. Both.
Confirmed. Just now, I checked. I texted a guy. My uncle works there.
Your uncle works at Nintendo and knows a guy.
Confirmed.
So entertaining that thought, but published by the same guys, but different development team. Obviously, the Batman combat's in there, and probably some of the open world tech from Arkham City is there as well. So it's not far-fetched to think that there, at one point drawn on a board, was a Nemesis system for a different Batman game.
I would love a Batman game with the Nemesis system.
Batman already has a built-in Nemesis system. Anybody that's playing a Batman game is a fan of Batman and knows who all these characters are. That's one of my that's what made me want to play the Batman game, was because I know every character is in the game, and at some point you have to fight every one of Batman's nemesis. The difference is between this and the
But that's
Mordor
not the Nemesis system. That's just a bunch
that's
of
not the system.
So this is what I'm saying, like, this is probably where the idea for this came is. So they had this idea to make a Batman game. Well, the problem what makes the Batman game so awesome is I'm fighting Two-Face. I'm fighting Two-Face's gang. Like, if you watch the animated series growing up, that's what Batman did. Before he fought the Joker or Batman, he beat up his gang. And so you're just playing an episode.
I'm trying to think, though, like, in all Batman stuff, because there's two ways you can go with the Nemesis system if you try to put it in that game. I don't think in the comics or the show or whatever you're pulling from, none of those thugs ever really have an identity. And I don't know if you want to give them an identity now.
I don't know if you want to do that, though.
You don't need a Nemesis. You don't need the Mordor Nemesis system built into the game.
Because
the story of Batman already has it created. So when they switch to the Mordor, to the Lord of the Rings game, who is that into token lore that they know who, like, okay, your guy's a ranger, so who's a named orc in any of Tolkien's books that anybody knows? Everybody loves Batman. Everybody knows who the Joker is. Everybody knows who Two-Face.
I'll be curious, because Like, so I assume they would have to do it on the thug level with Batman, but I now agree that that wouldn't work. So the alternative is...
To make supervillains in The Lord of the Rings.
That's not what I'm getting at.
So Bright Eyes is your Two-Face.
No, no.
He's your Joker.
Yes and no.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes and no. Hold on. Because looking back at the structure of Arkham City now, because Arkham City is much, even more so than Asylum, full of all the supervillains, and they're all kind of doing their thing, and you could almost sense that they wanted to tie them closer together but couldn't. Like, as I was going to say, the Nemesis system would be really interesting to see where on the hierarchy is Two-Face versus, like, Zsasz, and are they working together? Like, do they get shuffled around? But the strength of the Nemesis system in Mordor is that they pulled from this, you know, library of, like, orc parts to build all of these random characters. So there's, like, you know, there's, for, I don't know how many there are, but 70 or 100 different variations of orcs versus 20 to 30 supervillains that you can pull from. Like, that was part of the fun part. It's like, they're just assembly line of another unique orc versus, versus resurrecting a supervillain you've already killed. Like, there's some limitations there.
And that may have been, like, the switch. They may have, like, come up with this Nemesis system and said, okay, we're making a Batman game, so let's put this in there. And then they realize you can't.
Yeah.
Because Batman doesn't team up with people in the gang. Batman is the detective. He's going to go straight for the Joker, and he's just going to go through all of Joker's henchmen. So maybe they came up with that Nemesis system and realized it just doesn't work for the Batman universe.
Yeah.
There's a thought I'm having, I guess, in terms of that Nemesis system, all because, well, Justin kind of helped me get there with the talk of there's Two-Face, but then there's, like, Zsasz, and, like, there's, like, a... I feel like they're on two different levels. Like, a lot of people know Two-Face, whereas Zsasz is kind of a lesser-known villain.
Right. It could be that Clayface. Yeah.
Yeah, or Clayface. You could have these villains that, if they did tie together a little more closely, it could make a Batman game with a Nemesis system where, as you take out maybe a lower-level villain or supervillain, it could somehow affect how your encounters with the higher-ups go. Like, maybe this part of their operation has now been hindered, and so any fight with them or encounter with them is different.
I think their super Nemesis system, that they're probably like, this needs a little bit more time in the oven before we can do this with the Batman supervillains.
Yeah,
I think it could be awesome.
Yeah.
But as it exists, then the more, like, I hadn't really thought about this before our conversation, I don't think it would work in a Batman game, and that suddenly answered my question of, so why didn't they make a Batman game, and why did it become Lord of the Rings?
And like I was saying, I think the Nemesis system helps create... So at some point they realized, all right, we're making an open world game, so you're running around. But so what they... just, you know, an idea. They may have started the game and said, okay, here's an orc, and so this is the bad... You know, these are the five orcs, and then you got to go and you got to fight them, and this is their name, and this is what they do. And at some point they realize, like, why would you care? Why do you want to learn?
Why do you want
to learn the names of these orcs? Why do you hate these orcs? Because, like I said, orcs are the Nazis of fantasy. It doesn't matter. They're orcs. Like, it doesn't matter if this orc's more powerful than this orc. This orc's orange, this one's red. They're all just orcs. Like,
there's no investment there.
And I have a sword, and I'm not an orc. So my job is to kill these orcs. So
kill,
I think,
all orcs.
So maybe what happened is they created that Arkham Asylum type game where your ranger has these, like, supervillain type orcs that he needs to go against. And then at some point they realize, like there's no weight to this story because they're just orcs.
Yeah.
And so maybe that's where it started to evolve into, no, this guy that is the leader is the guy that keeps killing you, and then he keeps showing up and killing you. And so now you guys care about some orc, you know, named Bright Eyes that just laughs like a hyena and has a bow.
So our little super game in here is something in between that combines the storytelling of Arkham City, which I liked all the interactions with all those supervillains.
Yes,
but
I love it.
But the Nemesis system, when you're getting around the city, like, still, like, running into a couple of those dudes that...
Yeah.
Because what that does is I've kind of stated the story of Mordor does not matter to me. But
to me.
The story is what I played Arkham City for in the end. In the end, getting around the city was kind of boring and a pain in the ass and in my way.
You're Batman.
Because I think I started chatting with you, Jordan. I was like, because I saw you jump on and start playing Arkham City, and I was like, if this is the first one, you should really play Asylum, because I like Asylum better for its linearity, and like I said, the open worldness of Arkham City got in my way. But if you give me shit to care about in that open world, and I don't think the Nemesis system solves it, but it's a very important foundation for it.
Yeah, because what I like about the open world, because my answer, my response to you was, I want to fly.
Yeah.
I don't want a linear Batman story. Since I've seen someone actually play this game already, I've watched all the walkthroughs, I know that there's like side quests hidden throughout the city. Mm-hmm. But then now I'm kind of lost in Riddler trophy land right now.
Sure.
That's the other thing. That's the other thing I love, hate about open world games, is the problem with traversing, the problem with making an open world game and letting the player traverse from place to place is you need to fill that space with stuff. And the problem is when they fill it full of shinies, you never get from point A to point B.
I will say that
your time looking for all the shinies.
I really like that Mordor did a good balance of always having like side missions near collectibles, so you could do those while you're doing something else. So I kind of kept up with it, never really got far behind on the collectibles to go on like big long quests for collecting a bunch of them. So they definitely had that figured out. And the other thing I was going to say, where the Nemesis system has its limits, again, kind of goes back to the stories, but I started thinking about Assassin's Creed and the stuff that I liked in some of my favorite moments in Assassin's Creed is when they actually build up a little bit of a story around your assassination targets. Like, they start blowing through them a lot more and two and Brotherhood. And one, that was the one thing I liked about one, was like you had a limited number of targets and they each kind of mattered. But with the randomization that comes with the Nemesis system, I don't know if you can write like storylines that matter around those captains. So it's almost like they have to still remain grunts in the game. But if you can pepper in the like the important assassination type moments or the important like supervillain moments, which I think the assassination targets are the supervillains for Batman, but that piece, Mordor doesn't have that piece.
Mordor has the Black Hand and the Tower, and like I guess those guys are always the same.
But there's like two moments with
them. They killed your family.
Right. I mean, that's the entire driving factor is revenge.
Yeah, that's all there is to that. Mm.
But I think that's what would have taken Mordor to another. That's the area it has room to grow in, I guess.
So, like a randomly generated backstory, like this, or
I don't know if you can do that. Like, I think you have to have a combination of, like I said, the Nemesis system supports the open world, but the open world still exists where you can have these narrative moments that kind of put the icing on the cake. I guess I felt like that's what was missing with Mordor, was that, like, I felt like it was the great tasting cake, but it. Yeah, it didn't look as good or taste as good on the outside, maybe. Does that make sense?
I'm trying to think, like, Assassin's Creed, like, every one of the missions. So you go to a city, and you're there to kill a guy.
Uh-huh.
Before you can kill him, you have to gain information about him.
Uh-huh.
So Batman was the same way. You're going after, you're trying to, I don't know, I'm trying to think, like, you're not sure who the target is, but you're gathering information. Because you know something is happening, and it's happening in this space. So in Mordor, you didn't really do that, right? You didn't like gather information. You're just positioning orcs.
Right, right.
And yes. it's not narrative stuff. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, because what would the narrative stuff be like? You would go into an area.
It was It was all the shit I hated along the way. Like I said, it's like they're filling it with
it's the Lord of the Rings stuff.
And they're filling it with. Although Ratbag was fun. Ratbag was also more of a tutorial. He was opening up skills for you and showing how to do stuff.
Yeah, Ratbag was a means to an end, but he did give you an orc to actually pay attention to.
Ratbag was good. Other than Gollum just being Gollum, his stuff was fine. But like when I got to the dwarf and the queen, I didn't care. Like, and I got really annoyed by that forced love interest thing that they tried to throw in there.
Yeah, that was weird.
It was so telegraphed, yeah. And yeah. But
I mean, the dwarf wasn't even that good looking.
so I mean, the dwarf
wasn't down for your games.
I guess when I entered this conversation, my thing was, man, when they put the Nemesis system in Batman, that's going to be the perfect game. And now I'm not so sure. Like, I think
Batman already has a Nemesis system. Batman already has nemesis.
No, but don't. Yeah, it doesn't have the system though. Like it has supervillains.
And I think that's what I'm saying. I think that system creates your arch rival. It creates supervillains. Mm-hmm. And so for a game that just
there's
no language for it. But Batman, we all know who's super.
So
who
is Batman Batman or the Batman games going to be limited by the fact that we know these characters already versus Assassin's Creed and Mordor could basically create
new
characters.
Yeah, and I think we're limited to what every DC and Marvel thing is limited by, which is at some point Superman has killed Darksider, or at some point Darksider has killed Superman, time for a reboot. And Batman's going to suffer the same thing, where once Batman is killed off,
maybe
and everybody's dead or everybody's in jail, or he's fought the Joker four or five times. At some point, we got to do a Batman reboot. We just got to start all over again.
No, I mean, if you play
Origins,
Okay, at the end, when you've run out of stuff to do, you'll do the before this all happened.
Yeah, before it all happened.
Yeah, then you do your Origins. But once you've done your Origins, you're done. It's time to do your reboot. Which I'll be surprised to see in the new Batman game, other than driving a car.
For lack of a better term, though, like the Origins or Year One idea of give me a clean slate and let's do some Batmaning and actually see some supervillain archetypes like come up on their own that aren't, you know, if they can like get that could be cool. Or maybe
because like if you think of it outside the orc universe, because it's just like you said, it's just a random machine of orc parts. Mm-hmm. But like think of it in the superhero universe. So think of how different Batman's
you'd
villains
almost have
are.
To do a generic superhero and not something canon to have the because Marvel and DC aren't going to let you do that. But I think it could be awesome. Dude.
If you just think about it from like a superhero system with the Nemesis thing, because you're not just generating like random people like, oh, this guy's got an eye patch and this one smokes big cigars. No, it's the Penguin. Right. Like you've got this short little round guy that kind of looks like a penguin. You got this other guy with the duet.
So they can make a new city of heroes, but make it more focused like this.
Yeah, but like with hundreds and hundreds of possible because each supervillain needs to have like his power. Plus his costume, plus his name, that all kind of, tie all those three things tie
all
together.
All that needs to tie together.
But then it's like that idea of like the Batman supervillain. Some of them are the leader of a gang. Like Two-Face is just the leader of a gang. Joker's the leader of a gang. But Clayface is just a supervillain. Yeah. Like, because Clayface doesn't need a gang. He actually has a superpower. And then like you said Zaz, like that guy's just a nutcase. Like
he's just a psychopath.
Yeah. So he's on his own. And then you got your Catwoman character who's a villain, but also not.
No, there's a lot you could do with those ambiguous characters too. So
if you just took like a superhero style game like the Batman game and worked a Nemesis system into it, like that, man, that would be that'd be real fun.
I think we've kind of gotten to the missing pieces with Mordor and Batman. The other curious thing out there was, I was actually surprised, Aaron, when we were pushing through Mordor, and I found out you were. This is before the reviews came out, so your opinion may have changed. That you're kind of hyped for Assassin's Creed Unity. Like I was more of, I'm fatigued, and that feels like a step backwards to me because I feel like Batman's more evolved than Assassin's Creed, and Mordor is now more evolved than Batman. And Assassin's
say such a thing.
And Assassin's Creed is a couple steps behind as far as the variety and impact of the gameplay in the world. So why were you not fatigued, and why were you excited to move on regardless of where Unity stands right now?
I was excited for more Assassin's Creed because, I mean, we were really touching on what each of these series does well and kind of what its failings are. Mm-hmm. And Where Batman kind of has the rigidity, like it's very rigid on mm-hmm. what the stories you can tell with it are, and then Mordor, you know, it's got the openness, but it's very flexible, but then you kind of like the story no doesn't seem to matter yeah. so much. I feel like Assassin's Creed had all of the sci-fi hooks, and it had a story to tell, and going back into these people's memories and navigating through these kind of historical landmarks and periods in time. I was really kind of interested to see what they would do with Unity and its French Revolution, and the parkour was evolved, and that's something. I mean, Batman glides and he can grapple, and I think the parkour in Mordor was pretty flexible. Like, you never felt like you couldn't climb something. Yeah. You were hardly limited, but the way the assassin climbs in Unity, which apparently is still a good high point of that game,
It looks gorgeous.
It looks great, and the animation just seems like you think you want to get a game because it's fun, but part of what made me want to get Unity was just like watching that assassin climb up buildings and go down buildings, and it just looked like it just was like near flawless.
And I would say I'd agree that the other draw, like you said, is the historical significance of some of those structures and everything going around. I mean, I remember in the height of Ezio madness, which that is a man crush I won't soon forget. Like, I was just like, I kind of want to learn Italian. Like, I just remember having that thought, you know, like that's how into that universe I was. Assassin's Creed can definitely still do that for sure.
Yeah. I mean, Assassin's Creed, for as violent of a premise as that game is, I mean, not a lot of games out there, I feel, can really say that they have this kind of educational aspect to them that is actually worth giving a damn about. Like, some of them try to force education on you, whereas Assassin's Creed kind of made learning about periods in time and history and architecture, it gave me things that I actually wouldn't look up on my own and made me care about them, these buildings and this time period. And like you said, like, I wish I knew Italian all of a sudden. So every time they spoke Italian and I'm reading subtitles, I'm like, I kind of wish I could just know what they were saying.
Wasn't George Washington a tyrant?
And the DLC.
There was a DLC where they...
It's historical. I didn't know George Washington was that evil of a man.
Yeah, he was a robot. I didn't play that.
You can still have historical architecture with... Surrounded by lies.
Hey, Batman, that's fact.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, nobody's debating that.
Based on a true story.
It's part of my childhood. That's good history.
So my frustration with Assassins, and I haven't given up on the franchise by any means, even though I was ready to after 3. Thanks to Pirates, I will always have hope that every couple Assassins games are going to be awesome. And I still feel that way. But like, so the Assassin's Creed Unity, none of us have played it. We're troubled by some of the reviews. Definitely kind of dashed my any urgency I had to play in the game, but I'll keep an eye on it. But this was their next gen game. This was their focus on the graphics and try to get everything on the new platforms. So I kind of that transition is always rough for a franchise, and it's just frustrating because like I feel like Assassin's Creed is still, there are still things it has not taken from Batman. Like where I said, where Batman took a couple steps up in some of the combat and storytelling and mechanics and that kind of thing, that there's room for it to learn from there. But the way that Assassin's Creed keeps getting pumped out, it's going to be 2 or 3 more games before there might be a chance that we see some lessons from Mordor. And But in all of this, I think Assassin's Creed has the highest ceiling, too. Like, it has all kinds of flexibility with, there's room to care about captains in all of these armies alongside of your assassination targets. And, you know, sure, some of them have historical significance, but most of the characters are made up, and there's just a lot of flexibility with, you know, with the Animus and that sort of thing. So, the reason I keep bringing Assassin's Creed up, and the reason I kind of take it in the gut when this game trips over itself, is that it has such a high promise still, and
it has tons of room to grow. It can do a lot of things, and it can get away with a lot of things in that regard because it is it's not showing you, you know, what the Civil War was really like. It's showing you an interpretation based on memories and DNA, and so it can tell all these stories that are based in fact but may not actually be factual, that there was this, like, a Native American assassin that talked to George Washington on, you know, on a famous hill. You know, that didn't really happen. You know, that's not real, but in this game world it can be real because, I mean, it's Assassin's Creed. It's just based in history. But, yeah, there's things that, because it's handling, it's juggling so much, it can trip over itself, and it's got, like, a really high bar to clear. Assassin's Creed 3, like, just getting to that one, that game could have been really great, but the problem was in one area they excelled. They made the parkour, you know, stronger, but then they made the stealth was almost non-existent, and then they try to fix that, and it seems like it's just this weird cycle of they make something better, and then as a result, something fails.
Right. Yeah, it's that's the ups and downs of a yearly franchise, and but at the same time, Assassin's Creed kind of wrote the rules. It's kind of responsible for Mordor and Batman existing. So I would like to see it kind of, you know, take its crown back a little bit and then raise the game of the others, because I like the idea of having three or four of these battling it out, and hopefully, you know, Assassin's Creed isn't going to go away. Like, I was actually kind of worried it was going to go away with Watch Dogs. I thought maybe Ubisoft would turn its attention, but I have a feeling they're not going to squelch the assassins. So I have high hopes for that. But when I also said three or four of these, maybe we can close out with maybe other games that could use some lessons from this genre, because the first one that jumped out to me, and I tweeted about it as soon as I played Mordor, was, hey, Far Cry 4, do you want to, you know, take another year and work in a nemesis system with both your captains of your villages or whatever, and or your strongholds? And how about you get me some hierarchy to your animal kingdom, just because
there's a tiger in the game that is your nemesis.
Okay. You guys stick with me. Stick with me for a second, because in the original incarnation of World of Warcraft, my favorite thing to do was to hunt down unique animals in the world and, like, capture them as my pets, because there were at a time before PvP got balanced out, there were certain lions and certain raptors that had, like, amazing attack speeds, and, like, but they would only show up at certain times, or you'd have to, like, lay out certain food, or they were hard to find, and that stuff kept me so engaged in that world that having, you know, unique, like, your Moby Dicks, basically, of the animal kingdom, and giving you a reason to kind of seek them out, it's another reason to stay engaged in the world. And I think Far Cry is the game that jumps out the most that could, you know, add some gravity to its open world by taking some nemesis lessons and maybe some supervillain lessons, too.
I could definitely see that. Far Cry 3 is a fun game, and it has, like, all the other ingredients. But, I mean, other than that, like, you really only had the one main villain, Voss, and so it's like you and Voss, and you're going back and forth, and then, I mean, if we're just going to go ahead and spoil stuff, at one point, Voss has been gone.
Right.
So then you're like, well, I've gone through all this progression, all this leveling, getting stronger, crazier, a little more, you know, attuned to the island, but now, you know, do I care about my friends? Do I care about, you know, the end of this story and who I'm up against now? Like, what's going on? And if it gave you more to latch on to, so that when someone did vanish, you still had, you know, hooks into other parts, you know, Far Cry 4 could have just been, like, a real in-depth, you know, hold your attention game of the year kind of thing.
Yeah, but again, I'm holding out hope because Far Cry 3 surprised the hell out of me.
It was a surprise.
But I'm also holding my breath because, or whatever the opposite of that is, because it seems like anymore Ubisoft kind of, like, gets it every other time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think they land it. Maybe they don't expect that they're going to land it, so they start making the next one. Like, oh, we'll probably sell some stuff, but we got to get started on the next one. But so by the time that they know what the people liked, they've already started going in a different direction.
Although they're overdue now in 2014, so something's got to go right for them. I don't know.
I get something.
And then the other game, where are you guys at now with the next Batman game, with Arkham Knight?
What do they have to add? Like, you guys seem to be real fixated on, like, improving the formula. I think...
I'm okay, I just got through Batman City,
so now I got to do all the side quest stuff. But there's still Riddler trophies to find. I'm still flying around the place. Like, I could be the minority here.
I could be in that. But it was kind of like when Aaron said he was excited for Unity, I was just kind of like, I don't know if I can go back. Like, I think I'm going to miss this Nemesis system. I think it's ruined. No. From the I have open world fatigue, so you need okay. I need something to hold my attention. And so that's what concerns me about Assassin's Creed Unity, about Far Cry 4, and I don't doubt they have some great ideas. Like, everything I've heard about Arkham Knight, people are saying, giving it great previews, and things are going well, but I'm just curious if, like...
Okay, so speaking as people who try and play every video game...
yeah.
As often as they can, what is different about this game, so I'm not just playing the same... Because, like, Assassin's Creed, the people that play it... Like, my brother likes the Call of Duty games, and he will buy the Call of Duty game every year. He didn't really play anything else.
Yeah.
And so, like, he doesn't get first-person...
That's a good point.
...overload, because he plays one first-person shooter a year. Like, and then he's a big fan of, like, I don't have anything to do, so I'm just going to play a game. He got Dark Souls 2 not too long ago. Actually, he got the first one, and then the second one, and he 100%, like, new plus, new game 7, both of those games.
Wow.
Like, he played the first one, then when the first one was, when he, you know, and he played, like, 4 straight weeks of the first one, he turned right around and played, and got the second one, and just kept, and then played 4 or 5. So, we might be kind of...
Oh, for sure.
If
I could activate ignorance every time I played one of these games, and I'm sure I would...
If it could be the only game you played this month.
Yeah, it would be...
Yeah.
I would love to do that. I bring this up out of enthusiasm for the genre. Like, it's like these are my favorite types of games right now.
Yeah.
And so I want to see every game, like, push it a little bit further. And,
like, I don't want to see that. I feel like that will be overwhelming. Like, it's 2014. I'm just now learning about the Batman combat. Thankfully, you know, there are a lot of other games that are just
using. But man, 2017, Jordan's going to be really anxious about the next Assassin's Creed.
The new combat thing that everybody is doing. Right. I just learned about the Batman combat. Like, I want things to just progress a little bit.
You want things to slow down.
I don't think you and I should talk. I think we're doing damage to each other. All right.
I don't know because the new thing in the next Batman game that they've been talking about is the car,
the hover car,
driving the Batmobile.
Yeah,
which, I mean, from Arkham City.
I will say Shadow Mortar was definitely missing a car.
Yeah.
Can't you ride the Gwarg or whatever it was?
Yeah.
But you have to catch it first. Yeah. Like
Frogs and Caragors.
I heard they're adding the car now that I've been playing Batman City. Like, okay. So
Batman City. Sorry.
unnecessary thing to get good at. It's only useful for challenges. Because, I mean, all I do is zip line around the city, and then I don't really... I float, you know, once I'm high enough, I float from until I can grapple again. Yeah, the only reason you need to get good at flying is because the VR things. I'm terrible. And I don't want to get good at flying because you don't use it in a mission, so I don't have to be good at it. So I see the car, them adding a car just being the exact same thing.
If you want to be Batman, you should probably get good at it. I'm just saying.
Batman grapples and fights. fly around.
I know exactly what you're saying about, like, the whole, like, they try to teach you how to glide in Batman, and it's almost like, at what time do you need to do it? In Arkham City, you hardly need to do it. In Origins, which I did finish earlier, like, a couple weeks ago, there are times where gliding, I try doing it, and I'm like, oh, I can see.
You know, I do know wait, that.
Do they make you do an origin? Because I'm going to do Origins right after.
The map in Origins is separated by a very long bridge. So if you don't fast travel.
I can't wait it for 2 years from now when you are all about the the Nemesis system and how the fights feel in Mordor. My brain just cannot process of I'm going to play Batman Origins. I'm just like I was like you can see what else is out there. What are you doing?
I know.
God bless you, Jordan. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
Right now, I want to be Batman.
Okay. I was there. I was there. How old is Arkham City? 3 years? 3 years ago? 2 years ago? I was there.
I don't get caught up.
I can't wait to be Batman next. 3 years ago. Summer or whatever.
I'm impervious to it.
All right.
Like after that, I'll play Far Cry 3 too, and I'll get real excited to tell you guys about hunting in Far Cry.
2017, his mind is gonna be blown with Blood Dragon.
Sure about that Blood Dragon? That's crazy.
So, are there any other I feel like we covered the obvious bases, but is there anything else that you would like to see? It's closely related to this genre, but hasn't quite done it as far as the open world stuff goes.
It's like nothing's. We've hit the obvious things in terms of stuff coming to mind. It's that line between what makes your Batman and what makes your Grand Theft Auto is kind of
so. Because I don't give a shit about Grand Theft Auto. The last one I'll conclude with is, I don't know where the fuck Saints Row is going, but I can tell you that I don't give a shit about Gat Out of Hell.
Saints Row's going to hell.
And it seems like there's probably some gameplay that they could pick up on and have some fun with.
Saints Row definitely has the flexibility that we've mentioned to do whatever they want. Now, Saints Row 5 could benefit from.
Can you imagine their dumbass Nemesis system? Like,
yeah, they can make a Nemesis system. They can make that game hefty. They can make it just right.
I'm just thinking of like their ridiculous like character customization stuff. Like you'll like all of a sudden your Nemesis has a dildo growing out of its forehead. That's the first thing popped in my mind. So
dildo works.
Hopefully, Volition has been noticing the same things I have. So all right. I think it's going to do it tonight. This was fun, guys. Thanks for hanging out. And the Curse Checkpoint will be back again as soon as we're ready to talk about some other game. Next time. See ya.
Bye. Nemesis Systems.
Nemesis Batman. System. Loot. Loot. Loot.
Loot 3.0.